Danny Lakey Late Show.
Shocking DNA discovery traces most of the world's macadamias back to one Australian tree. I like the incorporation of the word shocking in this title.
It is shocking.
This may be some of the most shocking news that I've read in mainstream media over the past couple of years. Shocking DNA discovery traces most of the world's macadamias back to one Aussie tree. Queensland researchers, they've been shocked to discover the global macadamia industry may have originated from the nuts taken from Queensland to Hawaii in the 19th century.
So they're saying that all macadamia nuts were from one tree.
Exactly.
Ever.
They're saying that, exactly. So, you know, if you want to, it's the Adam and Eve of the nut world is what they're really saying.
Wow.
It's huge.
And it's huge.
If I was a Queenslander, I'd be bloody upset by this as well, because to think how expensive macadamias are, it's the most expensive nut in the aisle. It's like $50 a kilo. It's petrol. It's the petrol of the nut world.
And so's the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Macadamia milk. Expensive.
And then get me started on the outrageous macadamia slice prices down at my local.
Oh, so worth it though. So delicious.
And for like regional places where in Queensland where you might be struggling, you'd be thinking, God, we let one through the keeper there. Who the hell was responsible for picking up that macadamia tree of gold, shoving it across to Hawaii? Now look at it, widespread. That macadamia tree was whoring itself all over the city.
I just imagine hundreds and thousands of macadamias falling from this giant tree.
Well, it's true. Hundreds of thousands of macadamias gone begging. That's cash out of our farmers' hands, Shuey Louie. And more to the point, when I was reading this, I thought, hang on a second. Didn't quite realise that nuts grew on trees.
And you were probably hoping that I'd be like, oh, of course they do, Lakey. Mm. I didn't know either.
It's just not something that's at the forefront of anyone's mind, really, in this day and age. Where are nuts coming from?
Can you imagine, like, walking through a forest and there just be an almond tree?
I know.
Where do they grow? Do they just hang off the leaves? Yeah. These little almonds? Hello. Exactly.
It sounds like a wonderful world. That sounds like a magical wonderland I want to be in. I want to go skipping with a girlfriend under macadamia trees.
I was going to say, we could go skipping together.
Yeah. Can you imagine
through
that?
The macadamia trees?
I want to know if they start as seeds and grow outwards. Are they like little genital warts just growing in clusters on the tree?
Yeah, kind of like in little bulks down like where the leaf and the branch kind of flick off. I reckon there'd be little bulbs there. Imagine a little pistachio tree. I reckon a pistachio tree would be small.
Yeah.
Like lots of cute little ones, like the size of an olive tree.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. I'm seeing it loud and clear. The mind boggles, and I want to hear from people who maybe know of a whereabouts, or even, I mean, don't want to go too hard too early. It's only a Monday after all, but do you own a nut tree?
To all the people with a nut tree, can you call up, please?
Anyone who knows the whereabouts of these nut trees, Shuey Louie floated the idea of a pistachio tree. It seems too good to be true. Maybe we have no idea. Maybe there was just a macadamia tree once in the day and everyone's going, you know what, you idiot? Pistachios grow out of the ground like potatoes.
They probably
do. I don't know
where
they come from. If you've got a hazelnut tree, a peanut tree.
Oh my God.
You can't be serious that peanuts are growing on trees.
I love a peanut tree. I'm imagining like Bill from next door, who, you know how you'd run over when you were younger stealing like the mandarins from a tree?
Yep.
There'd be like a Bill who's got a peanut tree and the kids will run next door and grab them.
Is it that simple? Are they growing off branches like bloody apples and mandarins? 131060. Do you have a nut tree?
The Danny Lakey Late Show. To all the people with a nut tree, can you call up, please?
I'd love to know, I mean, impossible to gauge the stats this quickly, but how many people out there were sort of feeling on the same wavelength as you and I that this morning, Shuey Louie, thinking, hang on a second, didn't really think where the humble nut came from.
I imagine nuts to just kind of come from the ground maybe, or...
At the max?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought they appeared, to be honest.
Salted, packed, ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's so indicative of where we are as a society at the moment, not getting back to our roots and even knowing where a nut comes from.
I know. I'm
ashamed. Absolutely ridiculous. Mia in Brisbane, you got a nut tree?
Yeah, my grandpa planted it when I was born. He came over from Germany 21 years ago and planted it in our backyard, and now it's about 8 to 10 metres high, and it only started having nuts like 10 years into it, so it took ages for the tree to actually become big enough to have it. And I would be the same as you. Like, I if I didn't have that tree in the backyard, I wouldn't know where they came from.
Well, it sounds like a very long-term journey. I mean, the fact that Grandpa's come over from Germany 20 years ago and it only sprouts its nuts 10 years on.
This
day and age where it's a click and swipe society, no one's planting new nut trees now with that long-term vision.
Yeah,
what sort of nuts is it?
Well, it's macadamia nuts, and I remember when I was about 12 or 11, we used to get them off the tree or, like, off the ground when they fell, because that's when they would be ripe.
Yeah.
We'd put them in between the cracks in the concrete in our driveway, and we'd crack them open with Dad's hammer, and it took so long to get enough nuts to, like, actually just eat a handful. But, I mean, we had time to kill as kids. We had fun with it. But, yeah, it's a pretty tedious process.
So the macadamias aren't just... They're in a little case.
Yeah, they're in a little mini suitcase. And it would explain why they're so expensive, because so many man hours are going in to just small children trying to break them open with bricks. I'd say there would be a direct correlation with the expense of the nut in the supermarket versus how hard it is to bust out of its shell.
Do almonds have a little sleeping bag?
I would put my money now, as far as we are already in a nut discussion, that every nut, as a rule of thumb, comes in a little shell. As producer Jack wafts in here with a picture of a macadamia tree. Great producing, producer Jack. But there are some.
Go on, bring it around here. I want to see.
Shuey Louie wants to get involved in the shell action. I mean, if you can describe what you're seeing, Shuey Louie.
Is this the macadamia?
It's a real
bulbous
shell.
It looks like a lime. Honestly, it's this giant shell on the outside of it. It looks like a lime, and then inside it's just one white little nut. And it's quite a big tree.
Emma in Newcastle, are you experiencing the same sort of thing with your peanut tree? The peanuts coming in shells?
Yeah, I think the peanuts just come in one size, so they actually grow in the ground.
What?
So what happens is it's the first peanut tree I ever actually came in contact with was when I was living in Wollongong and I was in rehab. And the ladies would tell us, like, if you want to go do something, go out to the garden. And I was in the garden, and sure enough, I started digging at this tree, and then these peanuts started coming out. And I was a bit shocked. I was thinking, oh, nuts don't grow on trees.
They do say the best way to tackle addiction is to go hunting around for nuts in the soil, as producer Jack lost back in.
I love peanut butter. So
he's got the peanut shrub going now on his laptop. This is great producing, producer Jack.
I forgot that they're in those...
Real hands-on.
That would be the easiest one to peel, though, those peanut shells.
Yes, I did forget. We have all seen a peanut shell in our life. I do remember those. Dana in Sydney, wrap this up on 131060. What nut are you rocking?
So we had a chestnut tree in the yard.
Wow. These are upper class nuts, by the way. We're really dealing with the top echelon here.
The chestnut comes in a very spiky shell, so when it falls off the tree, it really covers the ground in spikes, and it's really hard to get close enough to the tree if you don't have the right shoes on.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And they're ripe when that tough nut, the casing actually cracks, and then you can see the nut inside of it.
And, I mean, you'll never guess what's happened. Producer Jack has locked it in for a third time.
But, guys, this is bringing back memories. Franco used to take us to get the chestnuts.
Your dad took your chestnut picking.
And you'd cook them.
Right.
They'd be hot.
Great. Hot chestnuts.
Yeah, beautiful. And just so you know, the almond actually also comes in a nut, but it's a softer nut, and it's the same shape as the almond, and it's a bit like a peanut shell.
This is riveting nut radio.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
This is a man who is in love with something. And I won't tell you just yet, Shuey Louie, what the inanimate object is. But, I mean, just hear the love and affection that this guy has got for his pride and joy. The apple of his eye.
Well, you got cute cheeks. Look at that.
So it's not a human.
No, it's not a human, unfortunately.
It's not a pet.
Well, it's not a pet. No, it's something a little more out of the box. I mean, just listen to the love, though, and the adoration in his voice.
Well, you got cute cheeks. Look at that.
Yeah, cute cheeks. That's nice, isn't it?
A human has.
Yeah, well, you know, love is love these days, Shuey Louie. It's 2019. Nice. Cute cheeks.
Ooh, weird.
Wonder what it could be.
We were with Edward Smith, a Mecophile living with his lover, Vanilla, a 1973 Volkswagen Beetle.
Excuse me? He's in love with a car.
This is 1974 Volkswagen Beetle. Her name is Vanilla, Shuey Louie.
That's horrific.
I was watching this show over the weekend, a good old documentary about Edward and his absolute love, his passion for his car. And this isn't just a man who likes to take his girl for a spin. This is a guy who dead set genuinely believes that the 1974 Volkswagen Beetle called Vanilla is his girlfriend. Like, honestly, if your boyfriend looked at you just half as much as the way Edward looks at Vanilla, you'd be a happy lady.
Oh, my God.
This man loves it. You can hear it in his voice.
Almost every inch of her body is a certain sense of beauty. And I get carried away, I must admit, but she's my lover.
How long have they been in love? I don't know what to say.
Oh, years. Years, years, years. This guy's never been with a woman. He's been with Vanilla
disgusting.
His whole life. Nah, it's always funny when it say lover as well. Also, it's the new partner, isn't it? Remember back in the day, I mean, boyfriend or girlfriend, whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't matter. But it is funny when they say partner. You assume that they may be gay. Because they're like, oh, yeah, me and my partner went out together this weekend. It's like, what? Why are you saying partner?
Yeah, like girlfriend or boyfriend.
This is another step up. My lover.
She's my lover.
She's my lover.
Lover,
what are you going to do about
like
it?
Sounds like you're having an affair,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
there's another car involved.
Yeah. No. This guy, you think's on the straight and narrow. Because he has no eyes for any other car, surely.
She's my lover.
Oh, God. She is his lover. I mean, she feels the same way. Vanilla feels the same about Edward as Edward feels about Vanilla. Just have a listen to when it gets hot and heavy at night time.
I love you. Oh, God.
Excuse me. Explain that.
That's him gyrating up against Vanilla's boots.
Oh, my God. I need to see the footage of
licking
this.
Licking the windows.
Foul.
Nuzzling her roof.
I love you.
Okay. I don't know if I can listen to it anymore.
You can hear it in
Ooh,
his voice.
Blakey, stop it!
Real hot and heavy. I mean, he's got no issue in sort of delging into all their deep, sexy details, either.
I slept great last night. I'm sure she did. Gave her a little loving before going to bed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she liked that. I'm just getting some of the smudges, love smudges off of her.
Getting the love smudges off of her.
Oh, my God, yuck. He literally thinks she's like a human. It's a car.
The love smudges off. Now, that's how you know you found a gentleman, when the bloke has enough decency to wipe the love smudges off after making love.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, just get a doily rag and make sure that your woman's clean again. No love smudges before you go to bed. No love smudges left. She loves it. This is when the journalist starts, like, realising that he should probably ask more investigative questions.
You've left a hair. Can you see?
That's probably from my head.
You left a hair.
Spoiler alert. Wasn't from his head, guys. It was a dark Spartan. It was a pew. He's got like this long, grey, wiry hair, but this was like a short black.
Oh, my God.
You left a hair.
I can't.
You see?
That's probably from my head.
You must find it online. It's very funny. But then you're really, all right, there's probably a sexual element to it. But at the end of the day, isn't everyone deserving of love?
Yeah, but not to a car.
Well, look, I mean, would your boyfriend do this, Shuey Louie?
Vanilla Beetle of 74, your creamy body I adore.
Oh, okay. Is your boyfriend writing these sort of lines?
I really hope that he's not writing those for me.
Shuey Louie 78. Your brown, tan skin body is what I appreciate.
No.
And then the journalist asked him a bit more, like, you know, people are obviously going to be laughing at this. There may be a few rogue radio announcers sort of taking the piss out of your love story. What do you have to say to all of that? And it made me change my mind.
That I appreciate beauty and I go a little bit beyond appreciating the beauty of a car, only to the point of what I feel is an expression of love. And that I'm not sick, I'm not out to hurt myself or anyone else.
Yeah, and you know what? That was towards the end of the doco, and I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so judgmental. Love is love.
No, this is weird.
He can love his guy. This is an upstanding man. This is one of the good guys. And then they end with the final shot, where unfortunately Edward's eyes have gotten the better of him and other temptations lie away. Unbeknownst to him that the film crew are filming through the window the whole time.
Edward was an early riser. Unaware that we were also up, he grabbed the opportunity to get intimate with our car.
Oh, no!
No. No, he did not. No, this says no.
They were just filming from the window, like through the window, and he's there, yeah, getting up on the Chrysler. I thought, God, he is. He's just like the rest of us, isn't he? Him and Vanilla don't talk anymore.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Uh-oh, new rule. New rule alert. New rule at St. John Bosco College, guys.
What the hell's that?
Well, St. John Bosco College in Engadine. I believe Engadine is near Cronulla in Sydney. I only know that because there was a vicious rumour circling around that Scott Morrison may have shat himself after the 1998 NRL Grand Final at Engadine Maccas.
ScoMo.
That's the rumour.
Pooped himself.
Allegedly. But St. John Bosco College in Engadine told students they are not permitted to go to the nearby Coles supermarket during supermarket hours. Parents say that at a recent school assembly, students from the co-ed high school were told of the new rule, which was put in place after reports of inappropriate behaviour.
Yeah, it's because of school uniform. If they were in mufti, they'd be fine, but the school uniform giveaway.
It's so true, isn't it? And all it takes is one or two bad dogs from St. John Bosco College to ruin it for the rest of us. St. John Bosco College Principal Damien Carlton, that's Mr. Carlton to you and I, Shuri Lou, did not delve into the specifics, but did say that the matter related to poor behaviour. I'm guessing theft. I'm guessing a bit of theft.
The pick and mix. They were grabbing those sour gummy worms, they were grabbing those almonds, and they were grabbing those little peanut butter snacks.
And now there's a rule in place for everyone. They're banned from Coles supermarket. Doesn't surprise me. Usually all it takes is one little whippersnapper to step out of line, and all of a sudden there's some sort of dictatorship across the whole school.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, warheads were getting around.
Sour lollies.
Yeah, the hard-boiled
sweets. We got them in the office. They're tough.
Yeah, they're real bad. And, I mean, it was a bit of fun back in grade five. Little 10-year-old boys would be boys. I'll have a warhead. Ooh, are you hard? You'll have a warhead if you're not scared, that kind of thing. And then one kid took it to the nth degree and decided to put 12 warheads in his mouth at once, burnt a bloody hole in his tongue. All of a sudden, warheads are banned from the school.
He would literally, you wouldn't be able to taste anything for weeks.
Oh, he showed us. Like his tongue was mangled. He couldn't speak. He had to take like a week off school. I think he went to hospital or something. It was ridiculous. Absolute foolish behaviour. Want to know what was banned at your school on 131060?
At your school, what was banned? At your school, what was banned? Because at my school, a boy ate 12 warheads and did not.
Yeah, a bit upbeat there. Obviously a nice Jess Glynn parody. Fun, bubbly song. Wish I could say the same about the lady herself. Toughest interview I've ever done. Facts
are facts. You've actually told me that before.
Oh, she's a personality of a wet flannel, that girl.
Hey.
Anyway, what was banned at your school?
We were banned from going round to the bike sheds. Like you had to specifically drop your bike off from 7 till 8 and then pick it up from 3 till 4 because people were hooking up, pashing. It was my friend Kate who started it.
Oh, yeah?
She was around there with Ben Cody.
Oh, of course. Kate and Ben. Mm. Were they the trailblazers? I feel every high school had that couple that sort of pushed the boundary as to what was appropriate in the schoolyard.
Do you know he dumped her after 100 days? It was like the vicious rumour going around. Like, it was so sad.
All right, so that girl hooked up with Ben at the bike racks. All of a sudden, everyone's banned from the bloody bike racks.
Mm-hmm. No more bike racks around there.
131060, what was banned from your school? The zanier the better, I'd say, to kick off this cheeky Tuesday. Maybe no passion at the bike racks. Maybe the warheads were prohibited due to some boy with weak tongue muscles, sensitive to citric acid.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. At your school, what was banned? At your school, what was banned? Because at my school, a boy ate 12 warheads and did not go to plan.
Unfortunately, warheads were banned at our school in grade 6 due to one boy putting 12 warheads in his mouth and due to the corrosive acidity of the sour warhead boiled sweet, burn a small hole in his tongue. And next thing, you've got 300 pupils who aren't allowed to have a bit of fun in the schoolyard anymore.
Fair enough. Those are dangerous. They shouldn't even be in our office here.
Well, it's very dangerous in there. There's a massive tub of them. And I do just have a quiet word with more of the risk takers in this office saying, hey, you might think it's fun and games, but just don't put 12 in your mouth because it's all fun and games until you get a hole in your tongue.
You tell them, Lakey.
It comes off the back of St. John Bosco College banning students from Coles at Engadine. I can't go there anymore. Just the slippery nature of a couple of them. Shuey Louie wasn't allowed to pash at the bike racks because her best friend was pashing at the bike racks.
She ruined it for all of us.
God. I mean, we've got a few tongue-related bannings already. I'd be interested to see how far we can stretch this tonight. John in Canberra, what was banned at your school?
We actually got certain fruits banned.
What?
Wow, certain fruits.
Yes, like apples, pears, bananas.
Look,
those are all your go-to fruits for your lunchbox.
These are your standard fruits. I could understand maybe a dragon fruit ban, maybe a papaya ban of sorts.
Maybe a mushy peach.
Yeah, you don't want to take away the big three, the apple, the banana and the orange. Why was this? I'm assuming people were throwing fruit.
Yeah, well, me and mates used to take, you know, a few apples and stuff to school just to throw at certain groups of kids.
Yeah.
John.
So you
just sit along the wall.
Standard.
Yeah, used to, you know, hit the wall above and explode.
Yeah. That was
just
great.
For a bit of fun.
Oh, a bit of fun.
It sounds a bit nasty to me.
No, nasty is pegging the apple right at the weirdo's face. To just get a little bit of shrapnel apple damage, that's exactly where the line is. And John liked to toe that line back in his youth. Unfortunately, one apple went a little bit astray and now the whole year wasn't allowed to get nutrition anymore.
No fruit.
Lauren in Sydney. And what was banned at your school?
Korean diaries.
Yeah, it's standard. I've heard a lot of schools that have banned Korean diaries.
No, you have not. Why? And what are they?
There were these, like, we had this Korean store across the road at the school and they had these really cute, pretty, glittery books that were diaries and they got banned. I was probably like 8. I had one. All my friends had one. All the cool kids had one. And then parents complained and we weren't allowed.
Yeah,
clicky.
Well, yeah, it's clicky. I'd imagine there'd be gossip mongering. Gossip mongering was there in the Korean diaries?
I honestly do not remember.
A few secrets in there.
Yeah, there'd be a few gossip. If you've still got your Korean diary, I'd love for you to blow the dust off that thing and read a couple of paragraphs.
I don't think I have.
I'd pay good money. I'd pay good money for an old Korean diary.
I should get Jill to send over my diary.
Yeah, were you a chunky princess writing down her thoughts and feelings?
Of course I was.
Oh, God. Was this during your tubby phase?
Of course it was during my tubby phase. Probably writing down that I wanted more chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I bet so.
And how I didn't get a pash behind the bike sheet.
Oh, wow. The sweaty little fingers writing graph after graph. No, get it across. Seriously.
Okay, I'll
the
find
thoughts
it.
Of an 8-year-old fatty. We can publish that. Michelle in Geelong. Wrap this up on 131060. What was banned in your school?
Blankets were banned at our school. It was an all-girls school because two girls were playing Rubik's Cubes under the blankets.
I think I know what you're saying here.
Is there a bit of sexual innuendo going on I haven't picked up?
Yeah, yes.
Rubik's Cubes. Oh, they were playing each other's Rubik's Cubes under the blanket.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
Oh, did they solve it?
Like, you out of all people would be the only one who would say that.
Well, at least so. Was everyone bringing blankets, though? Like, was it just them? Yeah. Were they bringing blankets for that sole reason?
I think it was just them. I don't know if it was... you know, that's why they were doing it. But, you know, it was cold, so everyone was doing it, but they got caught doing that, so I'm not sure.
Did the blanket get ripped off or what happened?
I don't know. I didn't exactly see it, but...
Soggy blanket by the end of the day, wouldn't it?
Okay.
It's the sign of a good principal to ban the blanket after two girls are caught playing Rubik's Cube underneath it. That's good teaching. That's good public school system stuff.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. We live in a time full of great mystery. What was Stonehenge built for? Who was Jack the Ripper? And why has Lou not braided Lakey's beard yet? But the biggest mystery of all, who is producer Jack's mystery guest?
I can't deal with this.
Now, producer Jack has promised a mystery guest. And can I just say straight off the bat here? I hope to God that it's a decent mystery guest, because this mystery guest, to be behind the eight ball already, to just have so much pressure built up on them, you'd want it to be good. And no one has been asking producer Jack to find a mystery guest. No one has been...
We have no idea why this is happening.
No. Producer Jack just randomly blurts out in a meeting, I've got a mystery guest tonight, and we're putting it at 8:30. And it's a big call.
Producer Jack. I'm stand by it.
Yeah.
We've never had a surprise guest either.
No,
we've never had a mystery guest.
And you know what? You know what usually happens behind the scenes of the show? A very common scene for producer Jack to suggest a guest for me. I say no.
Yeah.
He gets in a sulk and the guest doesn't come on. So
I reckon it's someone he wants.
Yes, yes.
And that's why he's made it into a mystery
guest. Yeah, I just think mystery guest is an excuse that he doesn't have to bring it past anyone else to get them on the show.
Would I
that's
do?
My fear.
Do you think I would do that?
Yeah, 100% you would do that. 100%. So who is the mystery guest? Are we allowed to ask questions?
You can ask me one question each.
Just one?
Just one question.
Yeah.
Are they famous?
Yes.
They are famous.
That was a terrible one question, Lakey.
No, because I had
obviously it's going to be someone that we know.
I had a fear that maybe he was going to bring up a blast from my past or something.
Oh.
To be honest, that would make great radio. And the answer that they're famous makes me less excited about the mystery guest.
Okay, mine, is it a female?
It is a female.
A famous female.
A famous female.
Okay, why can't we have some more?
No, I'll give
guesses.
You one clue and then that's it. And if you don't guess it, you get one more guess. Then I'll bring the person in studio.
The mystery guest is in the building.
They are here.
Surely we get a few more questions.
Nah, just one more. This is my clue. This person has been a big part of our show. Yep.
Is that cryptic?
It is cryptic.
A big part of
Nikki Goldstein.
Oh, God.
Not Nikki Goldstein. Look, I'll just bring this person in.
Okay.
You guys can be blindfolded.
All right.
I'll get them to say...
Are we going to a song here or are you bringing them in
right
now?
No, I'm bringing them right now.
Okay.
Okay, put your blindfolds on.
Jesus Christ.
Should we try and guess names?
Oh, my God. A famous chick who's been part of this show. I'm worried on a couple of levels here. I'm worried that the guest is not going to be up to par. I'm worried that producer Jack will lose confidence in this outside of the box mystery guest.
He loves Real Housewives of one of those.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be. He would not be dumb enough. He would not be dumb enough to pick a Real Housewife as the mystery guest. He knows that I don't know them. He knows that you don't know them.
True. Yeah. He the thing that got me is that he said I will know them, and I've only been in the country for what 5-6 months now.
Yeah. All. Bets point towards a reality TV star.
Yeah, because
that's
the only
celebrities that you do. Yeah, we talk about them every now and then, and you guys are watching in the background sometimes when the songs are playing.
Is the person here?
Are we within the mystery?
The
mystery guest presence now.
Hello.
The person is here. I'm just going to get the person to say one thing right now to reveal themselves. Mystery guest, go ahead.
Where's King Dinger?
Hey, Cyril, we've still actually got your button on my computer here.
Myself.
Well, that's just a button that we always play.
Oh, my. Do you know what? When I look at it, I'm like, jeez, I'm embarrassing. I love him.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay, where do we even start? You've got a new man.
Yes, he's outside. There he is.
There's Cyril's new man.
Hello.
All right. Well, let's all take a breath. Let's have the heart rate just calm down. We'll go to a song and we'll just compose ourselves. Producer Jack's printed out a little sheet here with all the Cyril questions that we've been dying to ask, and we'll chat more to Cyril after this song.
I'm by myself.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
We first met Lakey's next guest like this.
I'm a very optimistic, happy person, definitely bubbly and confident, very confident.
And boy, was she confident, giving us one of our favourite moments from the season.
King Ding-a-ling.
From this year's season of Married at First Sight, please welcome Sorrel.
Producer Jack built you up all day as the mystery guest, and he has delivered. We were very worried that it might be someone we didn't really like.
Thank you, thank you.
Very well done.
I don't know why you want to listen to this voice, though.
There it is. There's that lovable us that's divided a nation.
I call it the diesel engine sounding voice. Do you agree?
Very accurate.
Right? Very accurate. I sound like a four-wheel drive.
You really do. You really
but
do.
But look like a little, you know, the budgie.
Little beetle.
Beetle.
Here you go.
You're a psycho sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You are literally a psycho sometimes.
Do you know what? The best people are.
Well, I was reading an article today about Martha and that she can't go back to her old job and she's too afraid to go around to clients' houses and stuff and do her makeup, whatever business she was doing before that.
Yeah.
Have you experienced some backlash where you've been worried for your safety or that like your employment and whatever you did is in jeopardy these days?
First of all, I was very locked at my work. So when they seen what I was in maths, they're just like typical Cyril. But the only backlash that I genuinely like did not like was my family did cop a lot of racism. You know, yeah. So I got a lot of, go back to your country, got called a monkey, gorilla.
Oh,
so that
no,
was...
that's not cool.
Yeah, that was probably the nastiest things, yeah.
Do you still have beef with any of the girls?
Look, I wouldn't say beef. Like, I'm not about that. Look, what's happened's happened.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm the type of person, you know... you know, if you're not going to add anything in my life, you add no value, I've got no problem with blocking you. Yeah, I don't need to say any more hurtful things. I don't need to hear any more hurtful things from you. Mm-hmm. It's simple, like, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Lots of people looking at Jess, and well, maybe not so much Innes now. Maybe she bit off a bit more than she could chew and she couldn't handle all the backlash. And some people just aren't built for life after reality TV and they don't realise at the time.
Yeah.
But it feels like Jess is one of those people that maybe wanted to get married 2% and wanted the fame 98%. Would you agree with that kind of thing?
Look, she walked in there admitting that she wanted to be the next Davina 2.0. Yeah. So, you know, it's like some people had their intentions from the start. Mm. You know, wanted to be that Instagram model.
What was your percentage?
My, with finding love.
For dude, love and fame. Like 50-50, no, 80-20,
love,
99.
Dude, I'm 30 years old. I've had my heart broken so much. If you could see the jerks that I dated.
Can you tell us about your new man? How did this all happen?
Is the new man allowed in? Get the new man in.
Is he allowed in? Come on in, Aiden.
Get on in here.
Yeah, get on in. Jesus, he's very tall. He's buff. He's tattooed. Picture what you would imagine Cyrell dating, and then that's him.
So this was obviously more my type.
Sorry, Nick.
No, look, honestly, like, I just feel Aiden and I are more compatible. Like, we're very playful. Mm. Nick's a bit, how would you describe Nick, babe?
An early night guy.
Oh, you guys love to party.
Yeah, right. And goes a little too early, that kind of thing, yeah?
I keep the red wine away from her.
Yeah.
If I say so, I don't want to upset her. Especially, I don't wear white to dinner anymore.
Did you see Cyrell on the show before you met her in real life?
I did, yeah. I loved it. Very fiery. But honestly, I only watch shows for drama, to be honest. I don't really watch love stories. I watch drama.
Did you slide into the DMs or how did you meet?
Well, I'll tell you. I met her at Mississippi Bar.
I could not stand him. He was annoying me. And then I was just like, but like, we just kept on teasing each other. And then, you know, right, anyways.
And then one thing leads to another.
How many dates did it take for you to sleep with each other?
Oh, dude, you're bad.
Bad dog, Lakey.
No, because you strike me that you guys would have this crazy sexual chemistry on the first date, but there's also that
didn't
part
happen
where.
That night.
Hey.
No.
All right, two or three. Two or three. Stop standing.
Let's just say when we fight and the makeup.
Oh, God,
let me tell you.
It's like
a cyclone.
Yeah, there's burns on both pelvises. I can imagine. Okay. I know the stuff. Oh, thank you, guys. Hey, you can join Hyundai and send your messages of support to the Matildas for the FIFA Women's World Cup at hyundaifootball.com.au. What the hell is that? What do you have to do with that?
Oh, my gosh. So, obviously, from the show, you guys know I'm a very opinionated, empowering woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Hyundai wanted, you know, this help with in that regard to with this campaign to help promote the Matildas. So, they're in France right now competing.
They're a big chance at the World Cup.
So, this Hyundai car actually has written messages from everyone. It's gone across the country, and we're going to send that to them.
Okay.
You know, so it's just to bring back the sports in women rather than competing over a guy. We want to compete in sports instead and stop all
love
that.
It.
Thank you, Cyrell. Good to see you getting on board with the soccer. Hey, you're moving into healthy spin-off gigs, like girls in sport. See,
that's exactly
how it's done, Jess, from Married at First Sight. You don't need to get a bloody lip tattoo to remain relevant, do you?
Daddy. It's all right. I got my daddy here.
Oh, thanks, guys, for coming in. Good
thank
on
you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
You are about to enter the courtroom of
Judge Jack.
The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is
Judge Jack.
Very soon, the lines will be open on 131060 for average citizens listening to the show to enter Judge Jack's courtroom. This is one of the highest forms of legal proceedings in the country, and Judge Jack does not muck around in his courtroom. every week he takes on some sort of crime that he's looking to stamp down on.
You're quite lucky that I actually came back this week, Lakey, because you put me on trial last week.
This is true.
Ombudsman, which I did not appreciate.
Ombudsman Lou took care of that, and there was some very fiery debate about whether or not you could get changed in the staff toilets.
Yeah, it was that you were on, what's it called?
Trial.
Trial. It's because of probation. Well, you are on probation still.
Yeah, you are.
Because you got changed in the bathroom and not in the...
But the jury came in strong and voted unanimously that it was fine. So, got to take what the people say.
Look, Judge, we've got more things for you to peruse over tonight after earlier on today, Prime Minister Scott Morrison roasted online for the present that he gave Queen Elizabeth II in their first meeting. Now, it's not really my job to cast judgment. It's only my job to represent the people that may have been given shit gifts in the past. And people online aren't happy because ScoMo today gave Queen Elizabeth II a signed Winx biography. People aren't happy about this. People are saying it's a shit gift. And
a signed Winx biography. I think that is an amazing gift and one that the Queen would be delighted to be given by ScoMo.
Can we just hear a little bit of the audio, Judge, earlier on today when ScoMo did meet the Queen for the very first time? I'm so happy I'm not Queen. The banter is the most boring banter I've ever heard in my whole life.
Nice to meet. Very nice to see you.
Thank you.
You just arrived, haven't you, literally?
We have, from Solomon Islands.
Really?
On the way.
Oh.
It's not quite on the way, but
not quite on the way,
it was an important visit to meet the new Prime Minister.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
A successful trip, and they asked me to pass on their regards to you.
Oh, that's very kind of them.
Sweet Solomon Island banter, guys. Oh, that's very kind of them. Oh, it's not on the way, is it? Well, kind of on the way. Thank you. It's so boring. Anyway, the fact remains that it was a shit gift. People are tearing it up online. And I guess tonight, Judge, you're coming down hard on people who may be accusing their friends of being given shit gifts in the past.
Yes.
Have you been given a shit gift? You can get into the courtroom. Let Judge Jack know exactly what the gift is, why you believe it was a shit gift. Maybe it was cake forks from your mother-in-law. Maybe it was a bookmark from your great-grandfather. And it just had no sentimental value whatsoever. You thought, Jesus, you should have just spared me the details and the money.
I think I'm actually very well equipped to be able to pass judgment on this tonight. Call up and I will determine if it is in fact a shit gift.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Now...
You are about to enter the courtroom of
Judge Jack.
The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is
Judge Jack.
Real tense courtroom tonight because Judge Jack is back in studio and he is coming down hard on ungratefulness. Only thing is, I'm a passionate lawyer who is operating pro bono, representing clients who believe they've been given shit gifts in the past. It comes after the PM, ScoMo, getting roasted today for giving a very shit gift to the Queen that he met for the first time.
I think our autographed, signed Winx. Who's it signed by? I want to know as well, by the way.
I think the owner of the racehorse the author.
That's amazing.
Look. Some people on Twitter, they don't like it. And it is my job to represent those people. And you've already tarnished them as guilty for being ungrateful.
Yes.
We're getting a lot of calls through, a lot of people eager to enter the courtroom tonight. Jamie in Cessnock, hello.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Very good. Please let the judge know what your gift was and who it was from so the judge can take into all accounts whether or not you're guilty of ungratefulness.
So basically, cut a long story short, me and mother-in-law don't get along at all. So last Christmas just gone, she told me she was going to get me a 10-pack of wild turkey. And when it came to Christmas Day and I opened it, it was a 10-pack with 6 of them missing. And it was all nicely wrapped up. The box was all still neat and that on the outside. But when I opened it, there was only 4 in it.
I mean, 40% of a wild turkey box. judge.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, you've just revealed to me that you and this person, your mother-in-law, do not get along.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but four is amazing. That's an amazing gift. That's better than zero, judge, what you should judge. Get from... So, sorry, Jamie, on the charge of ungratefulness,
judge,
you are...
Judge.
Guilty.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me? Four is better than nothing, which normally you expect from someone who you don't get along with. I would be stoked.
It's not a bad point. Rachel, in Madawi, you've heard where the judge will stand on these sort of ungrateful crimes and shit gifts. I'm here to represent you. Anything you do say, though, will be used in the courtroom as evidence, and Judge Jack will pounce on it. Please talk us through your shit gift.
Well, me and my brothers and my sister, we get along pretty well, and one Christmas there was a raffle at the pub, as there is every year, and he won some Pandora charms. And on Christmas Day, I got a Pandora charm. I didn't even have a Pandora bracelet.
It was all really stacking up to guilty ungratefulness until this last crucial bit of evidence, may I remind you, Judge.
So, Rachel, just what did you get your brother?
I think I got him some beer and some T-shirts and just things like that. Just some
I'm sorry, but if we're weighing up the worth of each gift here, it doesn't matter what he spent on it, the worth of that Pandora bracelet that he gave you.
Not a bracelet, just the charm.
May I remind you, the charm is worthless without the bracelet.
I know what those charms cost, and even though he won it, I think that equates to the same as a beer and a T-shirt, right? No. I'm sorry, Rachel,
Judge.
Guilty.
Oh, sorry, Rachel.
All right, no worries.
That's right. We'll get you off. You hang tight in there, all right? There's some more evidence coming to play.
Nah, locked away.
Caitlin in Hobart on 131060. What's your alleged shit gift?
All right, so for Christmas 2 years ago, the in-laws were all around, my boyfriend was around, our first Christmas together, and my gran pulls out this present, and it is butt-enhancing undies.
I mean, Judge, put yourself in Defendant Caitlin's shoes for half a second here. I mean, you're a little self-conscious about your rump. Can you imagine in front of a whole family, one of the elders, one of the respected members of the family, calling you out saying that you got jackal tush at the back?
Well, obviously this is a gift that is going to, you know, enhance the buttocks, which is, you know, an area that I'm conscious of. So I would be grateful. Sorry, but Caitlin, you are totally...
Guilty.
Guilty of ungratefulness.
Damn, what a shame.
Where do you find those bum undies?
Yeah,
I want them.
Set, hold the line. Producer Jack's looking for them as we speak. Movie tickets for everyone. We did chat with Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish today. Secret Life of Pets 2 out very soon. We'll play that chat in full next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Do any of you know Captain Snowball? Right about now.
It's snow time, baby.
Is he okay?
Not in any way, no.
Please welcome to the Danny Lakey Late Show, Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish.
Sir Kevin Hart, Queen Tiffany Haddish.
Hello.
Welcome to Australia. How are you?
I'm the queen.
What did you say hello like that for?
Because when he said that I was the queen, I gotta let him know. Hello.
How's things?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, a little full from last night. I had a big meal, but slowly metabolizing through my system.
What'd you eat?
Pesto, pasta, a lot of chicken breast, trying to bulk at the moment.
Constipated? What's going on?
A little bit constipated.
I got some pills for that.
Yeah.
Really? That I travel with. Yeah.
How long do they take to kick in?
About 3 hours. If you drink 3 bottles of water,
yeah,
it'll kick in even faster.
Get it. Whatever is in you, to get it right now. Don't make no plans for the rest of the day.
That's good.
That's going to be out your system, I promise you.
Let's smoothly move from diarrhea to Secret Life of Pets 2.
There we go.
I gave it 4.5 doggy paws on my doggy gossip website.
Okay.
It's a high score. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Out of how many?
5 doggy paws.
Why not 5?
Because I feel if you just drop the 5 doggy paws too early when the doggy gossip website is still sort of building momentum, people don't take you seriously as a movie reviewer.
Okay.
People think you're just throwing it around.
Yeah, but that's unfair. Like, you gave us a score underneath 5 simply because you don't want people to think that you don't analyze movies correctly. But if our movie was deserving of a 5, that means that you didn't give it to us for what? It's like this. It's a really
sound like some hater mess.
Yeah, that's a really tough thing to receive right now.
I would just answer in response to say, don't hate the player, hate the game. Yeah. It was poor timing with the Doggy Gossip launch website.
Gotcha.
Poor timing with the release of the film.
Okay.
Let's not let this be a speed bump in an otherwise quite nice interview.
Fair.
Let's talk dog treats.
Okay.
All right.
Any sort of pet food that you see in the store that you think, could that translate into like a human diet?
I've accidentally eaten doggy biscuits before.
They look like cookies.
Yeah, two of them. But, you know, and I got mad at my wife because she put them on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that, first of all, you don't do that. Because she had them in like a little bowl, and this was going to my smaller dog. But I thought it was something up there just for us to snack on. And I'm eating it. You know, and I'm like, oh, it's different. You know, got a little minty. What are these?
It's like minty
chips or something like that. And she was like, dumbass, that's the dog biscuit. And I was like, that's what I'm saying. I'm making sure that they're right for him. I try to play it off.
You play someone called Snowball in the movie. Snowball, where I'm from in Australia, means a slow dance with a lady.
Yeah.
And that was the highlight of the grade 6 blue light discos.
Okay.
You would always hope to be dared by your best friend to dance with another grade 6 girl.
Okay. And you would ask for a snowball.
A snowball, a slow dance to a Spice Girls 2 Become 1.
Okay.
Or some sort of slow love jam. How were you guys back in your elementary years with the opposite sex?
Wow, you gotta ask me that? Come on now. I think it's pretty obvious when you look at me. You know what I'm talking about. Come on now.
I was one of the guys. I was a tomboy. Yeah, so they used to be like just pushing me around. We'd play basketball and stuff like that.
Yeah, Tiffany was one of those girls in school that you just punch in the chest.
This is true. Yeah.
What up, Tiff?
I think he loves me.
How many cats do you think it would take to go from normal cat owner to crazy cat lady?
Three or more.
Spouseless, obviously.
What?
Spouseless, obviously.
Spouseless, yeah. Or with a spouse.
Yeah.
Three cats is a lot.
That's too many.
I think two and above.
Two, because one needs a friend in case you go out of town. Because, you know, you could leave a cat at home for 2 weeks as long as you got enough food, enough water, and they good.
Anybody with two cats is crazy.
No.
I don't trust nobody.
But I got like two cats and a dog.
Oh, my God. This household is unstable. And it's not mentally correct. I'm telling you,
anybody with roaches household is mentally unstable.
Well, if you got two cats, two dogs, it's a roach somewhere hot.
No, there's no roaches.
That house is nasty.
No, my house is not nasty.
I didn't say your house. I'm saying people's house with two cats, two dogs. Now, if you fall into that category, that's your
business. I don't have that many animals.
My mother has two dogs and four cats. And this is now slightly awkward because I know what you would think about my mother if this is the sort of
house. Four cats?
Your mom's a cat lady.
She's a crazy cat lady trying to minute it with some dogs.
Oh, my God. What is the big deal with a cat? Ain't like cat... Like, what do cats do?
They keep rodents away from your house.
But they don't do... Like, you can't...
And when they care about you, they rub up on your leg and they hurt.
But you don't call... Like, when you come in the house, you call your dog, hey, Rotte! Your dog is coming. When you come in the house and you got cats, you gotta make sneaky noises. You gotta play with lights with cats. They're aliens. I think cats are aliens. And if your mother got four cats, man, I think it's time.
She got an alien invasion?
I forgot that we were still talking about my mother.
Oh, my God.
This man keeps doing this. Is this the universal sign to wrap it up?
Yep.
Great. Secret Life of Pets 2 in cinemas June 20, however you catch it early. With sneak peeks from this long weekend in all major cinemas nationally. Great mustard color coordination.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Four cats.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Let's talk about sex with Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Hey, Dr. Nikki Goldstein. She is live in studio. The Hump Day Wednesday.
Hello, Danny.
Hey.
On this freezing cold night that Chewy needs her hot water bottle.
Oh, she's always got her water bottle now.
I love this. I'm in like a blanket and you've got your hot water bottle.
And Lakey's in a t-shirt. I'm is it cold-blooded?
No, warm-blooded.
Oh, yeah, because I need warmth.
No, he's warm-blooded. You're cold-blooded.
I'm cold-blooded. Yeah.
Stop talking about my blood, please.
Or blood flow.
Hey, I've got a question. And 131060, by the way, if you've got sex or relationship questions for Dr. Nikki Goldstein, I'm starting to get a little worried that I may be one of those men, and don't get me wrong, I'm not proud of this, but one of those guys that gets put in the, he just loves the chase category.
The thing is that you used the word started. Like, I feel like everyone's probably thought this about you for a long time. No offense.
No, but you know what I also get? Sometimes, like, when I try and confide in people, it's like, oh, you know, I just haven't found, anyone that much that I really want to settle down. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I'm just happy being single and playing the field, and variety is my spice of life. I just say, well, you just haven't found the right one yet. And I'm getting sick of that.
It's true.
Because I found a lot of ones.
No. I said that to you the other day.
Yeah.
But it's true. As soon as you find that one person, it's because you haven't experienced it that you won't go, you'll realise that you're like, oh, actually, I do want to settle down with this person.
I'm going to go all analytical here, and I'm going to go, okay, let's bank the idea that you haven't found the right one, right? And this is going to sound really fluffy, but the right one needs to be working on yourself first. You need to get your shit together, because often when it's about the chase, it's actually to do with ego. If you just liked variety, you'd be dating maybe one girl and saying, hey, let's have an open relationship. I'd like to date multiple people, or let's go off to a swingers club. For you, this chase is about this thrill, this ego that likes to be able to conquer. And then when you know, and I bet you anything, if I was a fly on the wall, I could probably pinpoint the moment that you switch off. As soon as these girls, I think, give into you in a way where your brain goes, yep, I got this, then you're like, oh, crap, I got to go back out there and get my rush again for my ego. You're smiling.
This is so accurate. Yeah. This is Lakey too.
Smiling. So that's first, right? This is first. Okay, first step, Danny's got to sort his shit out.
Right.
And then second step, we're going to put in Shuey Louie's advice, which is when you've got your stuff sorted, then you're open to seeing this person that fulfills you, that still might be the person that goes, hey, Danny, let's bring multiple people into the relationship because spice is a variety of life.
How could I get myself sorted there? How does one fix their ego?
And I'm
not saying that. I'm not saying I agree with. No, I'm not saying I agree with any of this.
Okay.
But if I were to fix it, I mean, I used to be an alcoholic. I fixed it by not drinking. Now, if I am an egoaholic or whatever, and people out there are egoaholics,
no sex.
No,
don't be ridiculous, Shuey Louie. Ignore her.
I actually think you need to sit with the uncomfortable feelings, whatever it is that makes you go, ooh, I've had enough of this situation now. I think I've kind of got this girl. I'm going to go chase another one. I actually think you've got to kind of nearly, in a way, practice date. Choose a girl, right? Hopefully a nice girl, and go, okay, when I get to that point that I feel like I'm going to start backing out, or I'm going to make some excuse to get out of it, or I'm going to say she's got weird boobs or breath or whatever excuse that you do use. I'm sure you come up with stupid ones.
He does.
Yeah, there's this weird freckle on her left thigh.
Exactly.
It's
repulsive. It's
too much.
I can't deal with this. I can't get turned on by this freckle. That's the moment where you've actually got to challenge yourself and go, okay, Danny, you know, all right, let's acknowledge the fact that I'm in that weird point where I think I'm trying to get out to make an excuse to get my ego back out in the chase.
Mm.
And try actually stick with it and even flag it with the girl and say, listen, I've noticed that I have this pattern. I really like you. I need to be open and honest about this. And I actually want to work through that period I get to where I feel like I need to get back out in the chase again. Will you hang in there with me and work through it?
Fine. Softcore vanilla sex it is.
I'm not suggesting softcore vanilla sex. You can have that with a person that you're dating for a while.
Yeah.
But the chase? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's insight into the personality of Danny Lakey.
I'll get there. 131060. If you've got a question for Dr. Nikki Goldstein, whether it be about your fragile ego and your commitment issues, whether it be about your relationship that you've been in for a while, whether it be something about you exploring your body. Maybe there's a pain in your urethra. I don't know. Questions on the air next with Dr. Nikki.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Let's talk about sex with Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
We are talking about sex with Dr. Nikki Goldstein. Gee, she knows her stuff. Sometimes she will shine a magnifying glass of truth right on you. Be warned with what comes out. It may surprise you. Good advice before Dr. Nick.
Thanks. I hope you take it on board and find the love of your life.
Well,
for a minute.
I'm doing a 10-day silent meditation retreat soon. Maybe it'll hit me in the eye.
I've always been challenged to do one of those, but no one thinks I could shut up for 10 days.
Neither could I.
It's not the shutting up. It'll be the sitting cross-legged 10 days straight.
In that funny position.
Yeah.
Right, if you do it, I'll do it.
I am doing it.
Okay.
Alex.
Well, damn.
In Melbourne. Hello. What's your question to Dr. Nikki?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Blissful, thank you.
Yeah, good, thank you.
So my question was, I've been seeing my boyfriend for about 9 months now. And when we were both single, we were pretty weak players, I guess you could say. And recently, like in the last 6 months of the relationship, every time I'd want to say, oh, you know, babe, you know, I'm sort of into it, you know, can we have sex tonight and all that sort of stuff, he'll just sort of tell me, oh, I'm too tired, I don't really want to. And stuff like that, and I'm sort of wondering why.
Well, this is great, because usually it's the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, I like a bit of, you know, gender diversity here. Okay, so my question is going to be, what does he do during the day, and what time of night are you asking him for sex and he's saying he's too tired?
Well, he works in, like, early mornings, and he also works on weekends late at night. So sometimes if he's working like early mornings during the week, I'll ask him probably during the day, even before he goes to work. And then on the weekends, you know, before he goes to work and works really late. So sort of like within those hours that he's capable of doing it, I guess.
Okay, so you're being respectful in terms of like not poking him at 1 o'clock in the morning kind of stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Like what a guy normally does to a woman.
Yeah. And the
hashtag not all men.
The spooning position.
Yeah, right,
what's
Danny.
That? Hello.
Check savings or credit.
I think, Alex, the question that you've got to start asking him is that is he satisfied? Because if we do have a look at stereotypically what women do when they're saying that I'm tired, you know, normally it is that they are putting sex down the list of priorities. It's not really important anymore. They're thinking, I've got so many other things to do. But for a lot of women too, it's also a combination of sexual boredom. And because sex isn't as exciting anymore, or they might not be getting their needs fulfilled, it then doesn't become as much of a priority, because when you're tired, you want to sleep, not have shitty sex.
It's definitely a boredom thing.
Yeah, so it's an awkward one, because I would hate to just assume that you're having a boring sex life with your partner, but maybe there's something that is going on for him. Maybe he wants something different in terms of sex, or maybe he has some feedback as well for something that he wants you to do. So I would be asking him very delicately that question instead of, is there something wrong with you because you're always tired? Or he could actually be tired. He could have a vitamin deficiency.
Very highly unlikely. I would suggest checking his porn search history, seeing what sort of fetishes he's doing. Maybe he's looking for oiled up ass.
But that's not always a transference.
Okay. No, he might.
You can have, like, look up things and have fantasies without actually wanting to live them through.
Nah, if he's Googling oil up ass, just get some oil.
Oil up ass.
You and are the one Googling this.
No, or if he's...
Is there even a genre called oil up ass?
Oil.
That's what Lakey Googles.
Oh, oil.
Yeah, or sweet negligee. Go in and buy a sweet negligee. Whatever he's searching, replicate it in the bedroom and don't tell him. He'll cream his jeans. Tony in Melbourne, what's your question?
How you going, matey?
Very good, thank you. Is that your question?
No, sorry. Yes, that I just came out of a 10-year relationship, yeah? Mm. How could I build up my confidence to approach another woman? You know, I'm lacking confidence now.
Oh, life isn't a Notting Hill movie anymore, mate. Tinder. You just got to go Tinder. What? People are too on their guard these days.
You can start off with online dating to start practicing getting that banter back. Because for a lot of guys that have, well, girls that have been in a relationship for a long time, getting back out there, it's like, oh, what do I do? What do I say these days? But I also think you have to go through those transitions of having those really awkward moments, because they are actually the moments that will build your confidence. You know, when you do feel like you've stumbled or you've made a complete dork out of yourself, I think you've got to get that confidence in yourself to throw yourself back out there. So start with some online dating, but don't be scared to actually talk to women and ask them out. And if they say no, what is the worst thing that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, rejection.
Yeah,
but a lot of guys don't like rejection.
It is.
No one likes rejection, but I think we're all super sensitive to it these days. And, you know, you think about the days where we didn't have online dating. We used to go back, well, our parents would have gone out to discos and they would have been rejected a squillion times. But things like that only make you stronger. So you go, okay, it stings for a little bit. I can get over it. But it gives me the confidence to go on to the next person and give it another shot.
Now, I'm not recommending this. All I will say is something that I did back when I used to drink. I had 3 day beers and then went out into the city and chatted to people.
Oh, I'm not going to support it.
And I did get a girlfriend out of it. No, I don't support it either. I'm just telling a story to completely unrelated
but
to anything that I advise for Tony.
Confidence is a sexy thing. So, like, you sometimes have got to fake that confidence and go, all right, I am going to go out there and talk to some stranger in the elevator, not even necessarily ask her on a date, like maybe just strike up a random conversation to prove to yourself that you can do it, because communication is an issue for all of us these days because we've got a head in our phone.
Pretend you are a German backpacker and want to know the way to the coastline.
Don't do that.
No, you do. That's an easy way. You just start
then
with those.
Then you've got to clear up your lie that you're not German and you're not a backpacker.
Ich bin Danny.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Dr. Nikki Goldstein.
Thank you for having me.
As well. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Let me make myself crystal clear. The following tickle talk is not tickle talk tongue-in-cheek. Not tickle talk in jest. This is serious tickle talk. If you're out there laughing right now, I love tickling my partner. Stop.
Stop it right now.
Just because the physiological response is typically for someone to be like, woo! Don't do it. I had to have a very long and hard chat with someone over the weekend who, all right, let's just say we're still in the getting to know each other phase. And
she wouldn't know whether you're a tickler or not.
She doesn't know if I'm a tickler. She doesn't know if I'm ticklish. She doesn't know if I'm a tickly. She definitely doesn't know where my ticklish spots are. But she just randomly with her big dumb eyes said, oh, are you ticklish? And I get this question quite a lot, and it's quite a common question that ladies ask guys. Oh, you're ticklish? Oh, can we bond via the art of tickle? I say, oh, yes, I'm ticklish, but let me make this clear. I don't want to be ticklish. Oh, are you ticklish?
I say, girls love to tickle,
you do.
Guys.
What is with it? Oh, where are you ticklish? What spots? I'm like, I'm not telling you. She's like, ooh, and tries to, like, test it. Herself. Tickle,
like,
starts tickling my side.
Off.
Starts going for me pits. Ooh, you're ticklish here. Stop. No, I'm not ticklish there. Ooh, you're ticklish on your chest. Ooh, what about on your neck? Stop it.
Do you have a spot, though?
My spot is on the soles of my feet.
The soles of your feet?
Yeah. I always thought that was where everyone was ticklish.
No, mine.
That's my spot.
Mine's on the side, like down where my waist is.
Right.
Lockie did it to me the other day, and I honestly was going, nah, nah, nah. Like, that's the noise I make.
Your man's doing the same thing that girls do to me.
He held me down in the bed. I was like,
No. Just because you have a physical advantage over someone and they're laughing at what you're doing does not mean that it's welcome. 131060, tickle talk on the air right now. I mean, let's just get it out there. Are you someone who hates being tickled and you're getting tickled? Mm. Are you one of these people who just loves a test tickle? Are you a tickler? Have you been tickle tortured? I don't know. Tic-tac-toe for all I care. 131060.
Is your partner tickling? Or do you hate tickling? Or if you're tickling, what the hell are you tickling for? What the hell are you tickling for?
That will definitely be my first question if there is someone who calls up and goes, yeah, I like to tickle. What the hell are you tickling for?
Why? What joy do you get out of it?
I would imagine that they are not comedically strong people. People who rarely get a laugh. And they've had to go to physical torture to get their laughs over the line.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, baby, indeed. I can feel it in me turkey hindquarters tonight. There's going to be some friction. Real love friction.
In your what?
In me turkey hindquarters.
What the hell is that?
Just that bit just below my back passage. Just my sensitive bits of my thighs. Isabella is 21 years old. She's an apprentice hairdresser, brown hair, brown eyes, 5'1". I told you, Shuey Louie, bring your water-based lubricants because there's going to be some friction. Very tiny. Hello, tiny Isabella.
Hi.
God, you sound tiny. You sound tiny. There's not a shadow of a doubt I don't believe you're 5'1". What are you, Shuey Louie? What are you, Shuey Louie?
I think I'm 5'4".
Jeez. And Shuey Louie's already quite small.
I'm quite short.
God, this is petite. This is real petite. What size are your feet?
Lakey.
No, I'm serious. I'm just trying to.
He's got a foot fetish. Don't tell him.
No, don't worry about that. Don't worry. Usually, short people have short feet.
That's true.
Yeah.
Size 5?
Yeah, I'm a 6.
Size 6.
The same as me.
Interesting. What an interesting proportion ratio you've got going on there,
you've got
Isabella.
Little flippers, Isabella.
How come you're single, Isabella? If your size 6 feet can't walk into a bar with your 5'1" height and snag yourself a man, what hope do we have? Why are you single?
Well, I did just get out of a relationship, so I'm ready to move on.
It's fantastic.
Get it, girl.
Yeah.
That broken heart.
Call it game four of the series of Raptors versus Warriors, because Isabella's looking for a rebound. you love murder shows. And documentaries and conspiracies.
Yeah, cool. I love conspiracies.
Interesting. So where are we getting most of that from? Netflix, Stan, YouTube?
Well, pretty much Netflix, actually. That's the only thing I really
do. They do dish out a lot of the murder mystery, the conspiracies, et cetera, et cetera. And you'd be hoping for a man to also delve into these conspiracy theorems and have balanced conversations regarding these theorems.
Yep, but I'd rather not someone who is going to disagree with me on that kind of stuff at the same time.
Yeah, right.
So you need someone who's always going to say that you're right.
Exactly, because I'm always right.
I had a messy,
me too, actually.
I had a messy feud once with a casual girl that I was seeing, and I was sort of arguing why she would need to watch mukbang videos all day. You seen mukbang videos?
Mukbang.
I don't know, something about, some Asian person eating spaghetti or something. It goes for 30 minutes.
And that was their,
She's like, oh my God, don't you know about mukbang? I was like, no, I don't know about mukbang, for goodness sake.
That was her thing, watching someone eat spaghetti toasted.
Seriously, yeah, it's a whole thing on YouTube.
It's like a porn kind of fetish thing, I reckon.
Well, she said it was there was nothing sexual about it, but after she watched mukbang, we mukbanged the hell on out of there all night long. I can see where you're going, Isabella. You want someone to watch your stuff with, get cozy, and then finish with a late hot night, a hot passion.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong.
You're into someone muscly or a dad bod, so essentially just no string beans.
I can't really decide which one, because I like someone muscly, but I also like someone I can actually cuddle.
Yeah, I see.
A little bit of cushion for the pushing.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
You want someone who works full time. So you're an apprentice and you want someone else who's out during the day.
Yeah.
And
that way we have the night together.
Yeah, true. Real true.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Story of my life. Story of my life, sister. That's how I remained single for so long. I just got to do this night show, you see. Got no
There's
time.
There's actually quite a few other reasons why you're single.
Interesting.
Still.
Go out and party, but also likes to stay in home and cuddle. What's the sort of ratio that you'd expect? How much cuddling to sort of late night action are you looking for?
Well, it kind of depends on the mood, really.
Yeah, right. No, it depends on your mood, by the sense of it. What is Isabella
yeah,
says?
What do you want to do?
Isabella goes. It'll be my conspiracy theory, and if I want to go out, we'll go out. I've changed my mind. Can you cuddle me now?
Spoony.
That sounds about right.
Baby spoon.
All right. Well, you get to the drawing board, all right, and figure out three questions whilst I try and passionately sell you to create males to ring up the show. 131060, lads. If you like the sound of 5'1", petite, tiny feet Isabella, who's an apprentice hairdresser, brown hair, brown eyes, 5'1", give us a call right now. She's going to quiz you with a sneaky question. If you can capture her heart and her mind, she may agree to exchange social media details with you. Maybe even a sneaky date. You want to get involved in Radio Tinder? Give us a call right now, lads. We'll do it next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
I love you.
Swipe left, swipe right. It's Australia's most love-matched radio segment. The Danny Lakey Radio Show's Radio Tinder.
Yeah, baby!
We just met the 21-year-old apprentice hairdresser with brown hair, brown eyes, who's 5'1" with size 6 feet. It is Isabella, loves murder mysteries. She's yearning for a man. She's burning for a man. She's churning for a man. Isn't that right, Isabella?
Yeah,
I'm yeah. You're the churnster. You've opened your churn styles right
just
up.
Don't make her sound desperate.
No, she's looking for a rebound. This is where all the power is in the ladies' hands. We've had a whole plethora of men ring through and a couple of females. But I think we hedged our bets and predicted without even asking you that you're not into that tonight.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Thank you, Tyler, who was 18 years old, who was very curious about you. But she didn't get through. Let's meet man number one. It's Jack. He's 23 years old. He's a P2, qualified chef, 6'1", short, blonde. Oh, no, short blonde hair. Short blonde hair, tall, blue eyes, rides motorbikes, gyms, hangs out with mates. I know, just the tickets. Hello, Lemony Snicket.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I like him, Isabella. He responds to Lemony Snicket. That's always the sign of a good man.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good sign.
What's your question to Jack?
my question.
No, that was Isabella's screw up there, mate. Oh. What's your question to Jack?
What's your ideal first date?
I don't know. It depends on what we're both really feeling like that night, I guess. For me, it'd be just like, I know, go out to dinner, have a few drinks, and then just see what happens from there.
Oh. Yeah, see what happens,
He's talking about banging if it's not awkward. I know, I'm a guy.
So are you coming home with me? Am I coming home with you?
Yeah. Do you like want to have a cup of tea or something back of mine?
I've got some real nice biscuits up there.
Yeah, it's the only reason I brought the kettle up to my room. It's fantastic. Man hack. No, he's played a very straight bat there, but sometimes that's what ladies like. Thank you, Jack. Stick around, see if Isabella has chosen you to be a Prince Charming. Let's move on to man number two, from Jack to Zach. He's a plumber. He's covered in tats, piercings, never wears clothes. Naughty. He's got dreadlocks. He's very unique. He does anything and everything for fun. He's a yes man. Zach, are you there?
I am, mate.
Oh, I thought he was going to say
Can
yes.
Can I ask a question? Can I just butt in here for you, Isabella? Why do you never wear clothes?
I don't like clothes. Everyone's better without clothes, I think.
Yeah, clothes is just concept. It doesn't matter if I'm around my mother, a four-year-old child, or just at the clubs or in a professional environment. It's all just a man-made conscript that you're falling for, you square. Oh, I agree.
Breathe in it.
I agree.
What's your question, Isabella, to free-thinking Zach?
Do you believe 9/11 really happened?
Personally, visually it happened, but we'll never really know, will we?
No, did the government set it up or?
I reckon there's something behind everything. The government's definitely got something to do with it, but what that is, we'll never know.
Well, you're exactly right. He's the one.
Yeah, and I think you'll find all the answers in the hands of YouTube bloggers around the world. So maybe educate yourself a little more on that, Zach. Thanks, mate. Good answer. He knows too well than to argue with a conspiracy theorist.
He nailed that answer, Zacho, the old nudist.
Let's meet,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he killed it. That's
all right.
Exactly what the answer I would have wanted to see.
No. It's a sign of a true soul, mate.
Loves it.
Let's meet man number three, Liam. He's 18, about 5'10", brown hair, brown eyes, sharp jawline. Oh, the human guillotine. Built muscly, loves mountain bikes and partying, works as a pizza delivery guy 5 to 6 days a week. Sometimes when the knives are blunt, they just get his chin to slice them right down into eight.
Slices those pepperonis.
Very multifaceted face, old Liam. Hello, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's going on?
Whoa.
Liam in the hizzy.
Isabella, what's your question to Liam?
What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you?
Funniest thing that's happened to me. Oh, there's been quite a few things. Probably one thing would be my brother has a little boy, and when I went over to their place one time, I was like, come here for a hug, little buddy. And then he just came running at me, went for a hug, but went full on headbutted me in the groin. And I was I was out for the count.
That's a good one. That's funny.
Had to be there, I guess. No, it was great. Well done, man. Look, it's time to make your decision, Isabella. Will it be 23-year-old Jack? Will it be 26-year-old Zach? Or will it be the 18-year-old human swordfish with the pointy chin, Liam?
I'm going to have to go with 26-year-old Zach.
Doesn't surprise me.
Loves a nude man.
Does not surprise me. Now, although Zach is nude and is a bit of a yes guy.
Put your clothes on for now, Zach.
He could still say no. As I ask him, Zachary, do you take Isabella to be your lawfully wedded Facebook girlfriend and maybe you can treat her and send a photo with your clothes on one time?
Oh, look, she'd have to be pretty lucky to get a photo like that, but I do.
Whoa!
Oh, yay! Ooh.
Love at first voice.
Zippity-doo-dah-day! I'll leave you two to acquaint yourselves. You guys can meet at a nudist beach and do whatever it is you two do.
We will.
I love you.
Zachary.
Stop it, Zach.
Isabella and Zach sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes Izzy, then comes Zach. Oh, my God, I can see his back, sack and crack.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time to find Australia's fastest servo worker.
Yeah, we do it every Thursday. We ring an unsuspecting service station and an unsuspecting servo worker. I then ask them if they stock 53-gram tubes of original Pringles. It's a classic road trip snack, a staple of every good service station.
Great snack.
Not only do they have to have the knowledge that, yes, they do indeed stock it, they then need to search for the pricing. Usually, traditionally, they have to leave their post, go and find the Pringles, come back and scan them. Different servo stations have different techniques. We're not here to judge that. All we're worried about is the speed. The second I ask what the price is, to the second they deliver what the price is. It's very simple.
We've got a large range of times as well. We've got our winner, Gilbert, so far, 6.1.
He's at the top of the leaderboard. 6.11 seconds.
So fast. And then you got poor old Jack at United Petroleum in Roselle, 62.8 seconds.
He had a lot of things on his mind that day.
He was just yarning to you. He didn't want to get off the phone. He was bored.
God, and I reckon if Jack's listening right now, he'd be begging for another chance. I heard that he's given up his job there and started working a new servo just so there's a chance we might ring him and he can rectify his score.
We should do a redemption round. Call some of the losers at the end.
We've got a whole heap of servo workers in the middle, but 6.11 is the time to beat. Where are we heading tonight, Shuey Louie?
We're going to BP at the Melbourne Airport.
Oh,
so
that,
yeah.
I know the one.
You've been there?
They're usually really, really good with their petrol service because they've got so many rental cars coming in and out.
Yeah, quick service in and out. That's what I've heard.
I'm unsure about their Pringle game, though.
There's a man called Partav.
Partav?
Yeah.
Okay. Melbourne Airport BP. Let's give Partav a call. Hopefully he picks up. Hopefully he can locate the 53-gram tube of Pringles with a respectable time. Oh, God.
BP Melbourne Airport, Partav here.
Ah, g'day, mate. I'm just a man in the market for an original 53-gram tube of Pringles. Do you stock them, and if so, how much?
Which one?
53-gram tube of original Pringles.
53, the big one?
No, mini one, travel the size.
Mini one, yes, we do stock them.
How much?
Give me 1 second.
A lot of prompting, but he's away. Come on, Pata.
So we sell it for 380.
Whoa!
Whoa.
When Partav meant business, Partav started meaning business.
That could be... That's in the top three, Lakey. It's got to be.
It felt very quick. I mean, I feel it was delusionally longer because of all the banter at the start. I mean, he needed a nudge in the right direction, but there's no rules against a bit of small talk and banter, clarification of the size of Pringles before we start the timer.
I reckon he's coming up against Vishan for 8.19 seconds.
So Vishan, I can see the leaderboard here. Vishan on 8.19. He's in third place at the moment. 6.11 is world record split time. You are official timekeeper of the Australia's Fastest Servo competition as well. Official time, Shuey Louie.
The official time, 9.14.
Not bad.
Whoa. He's in fourth place.
Wow. It felt like a podium position to me, but there's a lot of speedy servo workers up the top there. It does sandwich in between Vishan on 8.19 seconds and Aman from United Petroleum in Springfield, Queensland, 11.21 seconds. Looking very snug in there at 9.14.
Well done, BP Melbourne.
BP on the way to Melbourne Airport. Stop in there. Grab your Pringles. Partav knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Another servo worker next week, and we have posted the full leaderboard at the Danny Lakey Instagram page.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Danny Lakey's Adults Only. Alpha Bucks.
Come on, let me show you what it's all about. Chantel in Melbourne, are you ready to play Adults Only Alpha Bucks?
I certainly am. I'm so ready.
Well, you've heard the G-rated version in your local breakfast show. It's time to get X-rated tonight. You've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter B. B for Buzz.
B.
B for, you know what? We did a little practice before with Shepley, the sheltered sheep. No one actually knows where he came from, but he's helping out tonight. And we asked him a porn genre beginning with B, and he said bestiality. Not a joke.
Ooh.
Not a joke. It's funny where the subconscious can go to.
Keep going.
Make sure that you don't throw out bestiality because that will not be a legitimate porn genre that we will accept for question number three. You've been warned. If you get all 10 right, you will score yourself a Danny Lakey golden goodie sack. And if you don't know an answer, just say pass and we'll move on to the next question. We must take the first answer. Can't use the same answer twice. And the adjudicator's word is final. No F word, no C word. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Timer will start the second.
So it was B, say B for Bob?
B for bestiality. That's it.
Okay, yep, ready.
All right, the time will start after I ask the first question. Name a popular insult.
Bullshit.
An item a lady may wear into a steamy spa.
Bra.
A porn genre.
Big cock.
An alcoholic beverage.
Beer.
A slang term for having sex.
Blowjobs.
A possible pubic hair colour.
Brown.
A fruit used when teaching sex ed.
Banana.
A style of waxing.
Brazilian.
Oh! We got through eight. There are a few ums in there slowing you down and a few questionable answers as well.
Very questionable.
Yeah. Of course, for sure.
Let's go through them. Question number one, a popular insult. Adjudicator, I'd be interested to see your take on this one.
Yes, Chantel, you said bullshit. I'm wondering if you can just use that in a sentence for me.
Everything you say is bullshit.
I'll accept it.
Whoa, nice, Chantel. You did reason very well there. Question number two was an item a lady may wear into a steamy spa.
Chantel, you said bra, correct?
Yeah, nice one. A porn genre?
You said big cock. I will accept as well.
Producer Jackson.
I know that one quite well.
An alcoholic beverage?
Beer, correct.
Yep. Slang term for having sex?
You said blowjobs. Man, I just...
Yeah, I was going to say bang, but I was like, in the mood for a blowjob.
Oh, okay.
Nice. I'll allow it. possible pubic hair colour, brown. Yes, a fruit used when teaching sex ed, banana, and a style of waxing. Brazilian slowed you down a little bit at the end. Very close to that Danny Lakey golden goodie sack, but we'll have to settle for some movie tickets as a substitution prize.
That's perfect. Thank you guys so much. That's amazing.
Just out of curiosity, would you like a Love Honey male vibrator, the Blow Yo Stroker?
I would actually love one.
Good!
I'm excited for that more than the movie tickets, but my partner will find that out as well.
Oh, love it. He's excited. Thank you, Chantel.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.